Welcome back to another episode of Those Gals Have Moxie, a pop culture podcast that colors outside the lines with Chelsea, Jen, Megan, and Paige. Although, today, on this episode, you're only getting Megan and Chelsea.
Yeah.
Because
we're
today,
obsessed with WandaVision.
We are going to talk about WandaVision. We are, as of recording this, we are halfway through the season. We just watched episode 5 last night, and we are finally starting to get more answers. And Jen and Paige have not caught up with us yet, and that's okay, because we're still able to talk about it. But I am only watching it specifically because the damn Bird app ruins everything, and I just don't want to deal with spoilers. So I've been a fan of the MCU long enough to know that you have to either avoid social media as best as possible, which is dicey, or you just watch when it airs or thereabouts, or when, you know, the film comes out. So,
I'm caught up for that reason. You're smarter than me because I get on that stupid Bird app to promote other podcasts I've done, appearances, and the first thing I open homepage, the first thing I see is complete WandaVision spoilers. I immediately muted that person that retweeted it onto my timeline. I'm like, never again.
Yeah.
It's like, y'all, let's bring back some sort of like grace period. Like, I feel like when Netflix shows a few years ago were dropping, we'd at least give a weekend or a week or something before people openly talked about spoilers, or you can just type the word spoilers, couple inner spaces, and then talk about the spoiler.
I really did think that we were still, I don't know if it's because of this panorama or what, where we just assume that everyone is just watching things as they drop. I don't know if that's what's causing people to lose sight of this, I feel, unspoken but ironclad rule that we do not offer spoilers for at least 24 hours.
It used to be even longer too. And like, I get it. So many of you guys have the luxury, the privilege of working from home during this pandemic, but I still work a full-time job and help Same. Take care of nieces and nephews because I have a sister-in-law in the healthcare field and just really busy essential worker families. So like, not all of us can watch it immediately.
Exactly. Like, I'm out of my home from 5:30 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon, and then I still have other stuff to do once I get home. So sometimes the TV just doesn't get turned on.
I know, and these podcasts can't edit themselves, and believe
they
it or
really
not,
can't
I'm doing too many of these.
Personal choice.
That's true.
But like we said, I mean, I guess that is good that these do air on Fridays because, you know, people are
you mean TGIF to- it's part of the it's bringing back the TGIF lineup.
Oh my god, that was my favorite day of the week when I was younger. Oh, don't talk to me about Boy Meets World. Anyway,
we got the Olsons back, baby,
and we will get there, don't worry. We will be discussing that as well in this episode. But I do think it is helpful that this does air on a Friday, so that people do feel less rushed, I guess, to watch it and are more inclined to like wait until the evening or when they're in bed. But at the same time, seriously, guys, not everyone is able to watch right away. So can we please go back to the time where we don't, I literally had to, Twitter was a landmine yesterday. It was a landmine. I try very hard to avoid Twitter on Friday so that nothing spoils WandaVision for me. Because for some reason, I guess people have just lost the idea of this rule. So I am begging you people. I understand we're not wearing bras anymore, okay? What are real clothes? We don't know.
Speak for yourself. I just got a new bra and it's really comfy.
Ugh, it's all sports bras all day, every day.
I mean, it is a sports bra. So.
Then there you go.
I haven't worn a real bra in years.
Yeah, what is that? So I understand. a lot of things have changed. We've made a lot of changes. We've been looser about things. People drink way earlier in the day now and it's fine. But here's the thing, guys. This is just one of those rules. Please don't. Please don't. I understand. You're up at 4:37 in the morning and are like, well, I'm just going to watch WandaVision now. We're not all on that level, my friends. We are not. Please don't spoil it. Please don't spoil it.
We got to be kind to ourselves and each other.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's talk about, first I want to talk about the show itself. So this is the first MCU original TV show that Disney Plus has rolled out on their platform. I think it's smart. I mean, you got to think about it. Although I lost interest a while ago. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is still a very popular show. While it was on, Agent Carter was very popular. It found a very cult following. I loved Agent
Carter.
Right. So I don't understand. Can't make me watch
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though.
I think I watched like at least for sure the first season. And I think I got like a portion of the way through season two and I just couldn't do it anymore.
I turned the pilot off. So.
Well, some of us got a little farther, but not much. I was there mostly for like Ming-Na Wen. You know what I'm saying? So I am surprised that it took them this long to create an MCU-centered show beyond S.H.I.E.L.D., beyond Agent Carter, because I feel like they are so popular, but maybe they did just want to, you know, wait because they knew that they were going to have a streaming service and why not put them all on, you know, Disney Plus to draw people into the streamer, which they don't even offer. They're smart. They no longer offer free trials. They only allow you have to pay.
You can thank Hamilton for them getting rid of the free trials. I remember that.
Oh yeah. So, and I think they saw in the long run, like if we eliminate free trials now, people will want to come and see more of The Mandalorian. People will want to come and find out what's happening in the MCU. So you have these three shows back to back that are an extension of the MCU that are essential viewing, because what happens in these three shows is going to play a big part in what happens next in the MCU in the next phase. So this is part of it. And you have to watch these for the next things to make sense. So
I think just to jump in on this, because I love how you're talking about all these essential viewing and how people are trying to time it to watch these shows and get their subscriptions. One good thing that The Mandalorian and now WandaVision are showing is that people like the week-to-week format. Because I know my big problem with Netflix is if you drop 13 hours of television that I'm expected to watch in one weekend so I can maintain conversation with people, I can't do that. A lot of people are in a point right now where they're working multiple jobs or have too much responsibility or families or something. You in particular are one of the busiest people I know. I know. And we just don't have the time. So it's like, oh, what's this popular show? I'm never going to watch this because, like, you'll be so behind on everything. It feels very doable in this very stressful time because it's under an hour. Episodes are between 30 and 45 minutes, like quote unquote traditional TV.
Yeah, they're manageable.
It's very manageable. And I think that's very smart in maintaining people because a free trial is normally like a week, maybe 2 weeks, depending on how generous people are. And you can't get through it in that time.
Like, you can't.
Especially if you start a new show. So yeah. I think Disney is being very smart with their modeling right now. I know Hulu has done the same and it's worked out very well with shows like The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like, so I think we can see the Netflix model kind of falter because they need absurd amounts of like shows and content, and they're creating, like, Netflix is also just borrowing billions and billions of dollars. They're in debt. I don't see how they're going to pay all this money back to investors, but like they're spending so much money, but something smaller. And yes, WandaVision is not a low budget show by any means.
Not at all.
But it's 10 episodes and it's the only new show on the platform aside from maybe some of the cheaper to produce cartoons or like the Disney Channel content they're putting up there.
There are a few things. Yeah, there are a few things that are new, and that they're, you know, putting out here and there. But this is currently like a tentpole. Like this is like what they want people to be watching, you know, post Mandalorian, because okay, Mandalorian ends, we have a couple weeks. Okay, now WandaVision starts. So it gives you that time to like go and find the other things on Disney that are less money and less of a production.
Me, it's like I might only be watching WandaVision now, but I have 1,000 nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
All have their like little profiles. My little niece loves that Bluey cartoon show. It's her jam. And also Disney has smarter revenue because they have toys. Like everything has a toy.
Yeah.
And
they make very they make very specific content too. Like, you know, yes, you have all of these Disney programs, right? But then you also have things about the Disney parks. You have stuff about the Disney production companies. You have behind the scenes stuff. You have stuff about props. You have all of these all encompassing things.
And all these behind the scenes shows are working, like the making of Frozen, the Howard Ashman documentary.
God. I cried during the making of Frozen 2.
Yeah.
Cried.
And it's, they're hitting a very niche market in a way that they're realizing, oh, this is so broad because people love to see it. And like, we can say it now. Rest in peace, Christopher Plummer. The Sound of Music is on Disney Plus. The amount of times I have watched that with my little ones is great. And for everyone, I do not have children. My little ones are my nieces and nephews, my nibblings.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like, and even with the very like specific Disney content, that was still week to week. It wasn't like, hey, we're dropping all 10 episodes of, at the beginning, like, hey, we're dropping all 10 episodes of the Imagineering story at once. They didn't. They did it week to week. They did Mandalorian week to week. They did the Frozen docuseries week to week. I'm fairly certain. I could be wrong about that one, actually, because I did watch that all in one sitting. But they're very smart. They are very smart in how they're doing this. Whereas, and you're right, I absolutely agree, because I watched The Queen's Gambit like a couple weeks after everyone else had. And then I hadn't finished the last two episodes. So every time I would tell people, hey, I'm watching The Queen's Gambit, they're like, well, are you at the end? No. Well, then I don't want to talk to you until you are. Well, I'm sorry. It took me a couple weeks in between the first five and the last two. Like, I can't do
plenty of Netflix shows that I have started, and because people have already watched them, like you said, they don't want to talk about it with you yet. Because here's the thing, you could watch 10 episodes of a Netflix show and never know what happened in episode 2 or episode 8 or what individual episodes are, because they're made to just continue.
Yes. Whereas this one.
Yeah.
This one is even more so against what you're saying. Like, not only, so let's set up what WandaVision is, right? So this is post Iron Man dying, post
Endgame, really, if we're going
post Endgame. Yes, this is, I don't think they do. They don't specify how long it's been since, they sort of did.
It's been at least probably a month since the snap, because.
Yes.
Because we're going to get into spoilers, everybody. We are going to get into spoilers, because in episode 4, I want to say episode
4. It was last week.
Yeah. That's whenever.
Where we start to get answers. Yeah, the first three, we didn't really have anything to go on.
Yeah, that's when Teyonah Parris, she's kicked out of the town and stuff, wakes up, like, and then you get the flashback of her waking up in the hospital and the snapped people are coming back. So it's probably been about a month or so.
It can't have been that long, because like I said, if you have not watched up to episode 5 of WandaVision, stop listening. I'll wait. Okay. We've given them enough time. Okay. So the thing is, you know, like we said, this has to be very shortly after, because in episode 4, it's episode 4. We find out, okay, this town was on the map up until like 4 or 5 days before. Like, so it can't have been long, because there's, Okay, so it's set in this town, and we see the very first episode. They're consecutively going through decades of different sitcoms, right? So it's the two main stars are Wanda and Vision. And as we all know, if you've seen Endgame, which I hope you all have by now, is that Vision dies because he had one of the Infinity Stones in the middle of his freaking forehead. And it was also the source of his power. So therefore, can't live. So in the very first episode is the 40s episode, the Dick Van Dyke episode. And
yeah, the 40s, 50s era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we had the Dick Van Dyke episode, the like slapstick humor, like it's super cheeky and super campy and fun. And I would like to state, as we are recording this, I am in what I call my Dick Van Dyke pajamas. I would like to state that. Because these are the type of pajamas he wore on the show. And that's the type of pajamas that Vision wears on the show. But it's very fun. It doesn't really explain much until the end of the episode. They're eating dinner with Vision's boss and his boss's wife. And you have this very strange moment where it's like almost like a broken record. The husband is choking on something. Vision has to use Vision powers. And the wife, who I just love her so much.
It's Deborah Jo Rupp from That 70s Show, Mrs. Foreman.
I love her so much.
I love Kitty.
Kitty's one of my favorite characters on That 70s Show.
She's one of my favorite gifts of her just pouring
the alcohol. That's been the pandemic in a gif is that one. Well, that and Viola Davis picking up her purse and leaving. Right. I would say those are the two main gifts of the pandemic. So you had this very small moment, very small, and it's at the end of the episode. But then, you know, she shakes it off. The next episode is the Bewitched episode. And it is, you start to see these little moments, like a radio interference talking to Wanda when she's at the pool, and she shakes it off. Then she sees a helicopter crash into her bushes. And
yeah,
it's
like
colored.
A toy helicopter in
and
color.
It's colored, whereas the episode is black and white. The first two episodes are in black and white. And it's colored, and we're not really given any more information.
That's the talent show episode with Vision. Yes. And he chews the gum, and he's not supposed to have food, and it gets stuck in his system, and he acts basically like he's drunk the whole time.
Then at the very end, we see someone come out of the sewer, and Wanda just says no, and it rewinds and it goes back. So we start to realize, okay, something's a little off. So that's the second episode. So the third episode is the, I don't know what show they're trying to mimic. Is it the Brady Bunch?
So yes, episode one was like your Dick Van Dyke episode with the family and like Deborah Jo Rupp, and they're moving into town and they're trying to be a little different. And it is kind of Bewitchy as well. I think these first two kind of blend in together a little bit.
I think so too.
And then the second one is that they have the talent show planning committee led by
Dottie.
That's
the Bewitched episode. Yeah.
Yeah. That one's a little bit more Bewitched. Vision chews the gum and gets stuck in his system.
I thought that was such a fun episode. I thought it was so fun.
And again, I love Emma Caulfield because she was in the WandaVision writer Jacques Schaeffer's romantic comedy from like 2010 called Timer. It's one of my favorite rom-coms. It is a very low budget film, but it has so much imagination and so much fun. And Emma Caulfield's a star, so I love seeing her in things again. So at the end of that episode, you were talking about the strange beekeeper emerges from the manhole.
And she says no, and she backs up, and she rewinds it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, wait.
And then it becomes all colorful and pretty. And the big thing about the second episode is, because they dropped these first two episodes, is Wanda is pregnant at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads into the third episode, which is your more Brady Bunch one. And then Wanda is just accelerating through pregnancy. And this is the part of the show where it still feels like they're just doing sitcoms every week. And you think it's going to just be a cute gimmick show, even giving you like little breadcrumbs throughout.
I would say the first three episodes were the ones where we were like, okay, something is wrong, but we don't know what, because I felt like we didn't get any answers those first three episodes. Not really.
And then episode three is where you really get to see Teyonah Parris really shine. She plays in the sitcom Geraldine, who befriends Wanda and helps deliver Wanda's babies.
And they do say, someone does say, like, she doesn't belong here. And we think, oh, it's like, you know, it might be like a racist thing. It's not, though. She literally doesn't belong there.
Yeah. You really start to
think that. But we don't know that yet.
And we have to say it. Agnes is played by the one and only, the best, Catherine Hahn, who, all the jokes on Twitter are, at least Wanda knows that when Catherine Hahn arrives, everyone should clap because she's so right.
Not wrong.
Catherine Hahn is beautiful and funny and everything. And Agnes is the one character that kind of seems aware of everything as it's going. She's
like, yeah,
fun neighbor trope. She's Ethel and Lucy. She's all those fun characters that come.
But in episode four, Vision comes out, and I think Vision starts to understand things, like something's wrong in episode four, because at one point, like, is his name Hugh? It's Hugh, right? The neighbor?
No, it's Herb.
Herb. It was with an H. So he comes out and he's like cutting through the bricks that separate their yards. And at one point he comes out and he sees Herb and Agnes talking in hushed tones. And he's like, what's going on? He's like, nothing, Herb. Like, she cuts him off completely. So I think, and then we see it again, since we're already talking about her, we see it again in last night's episode where she comes in and she's talking and Vision starts saying something against what she's saying. And she says, did you want me to take that again? And Wanda says, what? And she said, do you want me to take that from the top? Like, I'll go back out and come back in.
So, well, parts of what you're saying happen in episode three. So while Wanda like gives birth to the twins and everything, and they're suspicious of her and talk about all this othering and stuff. And at the end of episode three, that's whenever like Geraldine, played by Teyonah Parris, mentions Ultron killed Wanda's brother, Pietro, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it really breaks Wanda out of the sitcom spell. And that's whenever you really realize something. And then like Wanda notices her sword necklace and casts her out. And that's whenever you really, the show starts really kicking in. Because then in episode four, you get the Monica Rambeau, who is Geraldine, Teyonah Parris flashback. You get the wonderful Kat Dennings and Jimmy Woo. They come in. So you get
to talk about that
like,
in detail.
Yeah, so you get to see Monica come back from after the blip, learn that Lashana Lynch's Maria Rambeau has passed away from our love from Captain Marvel. We love her. Yes. And then you get to see that S.W.O.R.D. is kind of aware of what's going on. Darcy discovers that it's a sitcom because she's the only smart character.
Only smart one.
Besides Monica.
Somehow.
Only smart character. And
somehow.
So they get to start watching all of this stuff, so... And then in episode five's where basically it picks up with Monica Rambeau coming out of the force field town of Westview or whatever, and Vision really starting to know that something is wrong and starting to figure out things.
Because at the end of episode four, when Monica gets thrown out of the force field, we'll go with, I guess. When she gets thrown out of the town, she says it's all Wanda. So my initial reaction in the first few episodes was, oh my God, I think this is a grief response to her. First, she lost her brother because of, you know, Ultron. Then she loses Vision, who these were the only two people that she felt the closest to in the world. So I thought this is probably a grief response. And then it turns out at the end of episode four, and specifically in episode five, we definitely understand that this is a grief response. Like, she, and here's my thing. So or I'm sorry, there are only two people who use their real names, and that is Loki and Thor, okay? Rest of them, they don't use their real names, okay? They just don't. So you would know if they work for, that if they worked for S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, if they were all under, you know, Nick Fury, they would know her name is Scarlet Witch. Like in episode 5, they're all standing around. They're like, so what's her alias? What is it? What is it? Guys, come on. It's, there's a file and you know exactly what her name is.
And I'm pretty sure S.W.O.R.D. is, it's more like a new place started, not because of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's more of a separate entity because S.H.I.E.L.D. we saw was taken over by Hydra and stuff, had been infiltrated. So it's kind of a different
thing. When I looked last night, it just said it was like a subsection of it.
It's essentially like that's what they wanted to use and originally S.W.O.R.D., but then they had to like create S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything because technically 20th Century Fox owned the rights to S.W.O.R.D. stuff.
That's fair.
But now
at the same time,
Disney owns.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, you have to think about it. Like, I mean, people knew all of their names, you know, they know, oh, this is Captain America, not Steve Rogers. This is Black Widow, not Natasha, whatever her last name is. There we go. You know that his name isn't really Black Panther, it's T'Challa. Like, you know these, like, if you saw these people fighting as part of the Avengers, you know what their Avenger name is. You know that her name is Scarlet Witch. Especially if you're saying that she is so powerful that she could have defeated Thanos by herself. Come on, seriously. You know what her name is. So one, that annoyed me. Two, it annoys me that, again, and I understand we still have 5 episodes to go, so they'll get there. But if you're sitting here saying Monica comes out in episode 4 and she says it's all Wanda, you understand, because when they separated all the Avengers, right, to keep them safe, Wanda and Vision were together in Scotland. So you knew that they were there together because they were together. So you knew that. So when they were like, well, why would she steal his body? Hello?
I think it's less of like why, because of them being partners and stuff. It's more like Vision didn't want his body being used for anything, and they knew that. So I think there's way more to the story of that than we're getting, obviously, because that's information that the head of S.W.O.R.D. or whatever, the white dude in the show, I don't know his name
either, don't worry.
Good, perfect.
Because I know who you're talking about, though.
I know. The white guy in charge of things.
Yeah, the white guy in charge of things.
He didn't tell Monica Rambeau that, and you can tell that she was a little suspicious and kind of pissed off that she didn't know this information, even though it happened, like, when she was aware and told to go do the, like, told to go do stuff. Like, she was back, snapped back everything.
Because he said what? That it was, like, 9 days ago that she stole the body?
Yeah. And, like, yeah. Monica came back the same day as Scarlet Witch because they were both snapped people. So,
yeah,
obviously things are going.
Right. So I'm sure there is, like I said, we still have 5 episodes. I'm sure we'll get more out of that. But what was the last thing? Oh, right. We talked about this. How all those people in that room are so smart. And she said, all I felt was like an overwhelming sense of grief, right? That's what Monica said. They were like, well, what did you feel? And she was like, the only thing I felt was grief. Okay, you know Scarlet Witch is this powerful. You're hearing that she had an overwhelming sense of grief. So 2 and 2 together, this grief spiral, which this clearly is obviously just going to amplify her powers. So, because they're sitting there saying like, the amount of power she has to be using to not only be putting this force field around the town, but then rewriting everyone's story in their head, this using so much power. Well, yes, when you're a very powerful witch, and then you are using this, you are taking that grief and your powers are being amplified. Of course, you're going to be able to hold this much power. Right.
And you can tell that she's not in control of this power because, I mean,
she's not.
One, she can't control when the twins decide to age themselves or not. So I wonder if there's something there, but also there's like, she seemed genuinely shocked whenever, spoilers, her brother shows up at her door.
There are things that are surprising to her because, one, they do ask, and I believe it's this last episode, they're like, did anyone get an identification on who the twins are? And Darcy's like, no, those are hers. Like, they're not real people. Like, that is something that happened inside of here and we can't do anything about. Yeah. Like, those aren't real.
Everything in the world she's creating is real.
I'm
wondering if she accidentally, with all her power, actually created something that she doesn't have control of. Because whenever, like, basically the sword tries to shoot a missile through the town and take out Wanda, and of course Wanda can defeat Thanos if, like, she wanted to, essentially.
And they do say that.
Yeah, like Monica says, she could have defeated Thanos if there wasn't for the Blitz, because she saved people within the Blitz.
Mm-hmm. And
so, of course, she can get rid of a missile. So she literally throws the missile back, has everybody, like, put their guns on this director who's a shitty dude. But the Wanda who walks out does not seem like the same Wanda within the show. So I'm wondering what's going on there. Because that, like, we already knew ahead of time, like, at least a year ago after Endgame, that Elizabeth Olsen was going to be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. And
which is what they're filming in London right now.
I know. So they're definitely, everything happening in WandaVision is leading up to that. And the recast brother, which is Evan Peters from the X-Men universe.
Same character, Quicksilver.
Same character, Quicksilver, because everyone was making fun of the fact that you're getting two Quicksilvers in two different universes, and they were comparing them. People love the Evan Peters one more. And I think it kind of does make sense, though, to, if you're going to do multiverse stuff, if you just bought Fox, that you're going to have this character in there.
Right. And that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, where you have these MCU shows that if you don't watch them, something in the movies will not make sense, because all of anything that happens in this show, in Loki, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, these all play into something that happens in the movies. And that's just how the MCU works. You know, it's not going to be the same as with S.H.I.E.L.D., where S.H.I.E.L.D. deals with stuff that happened in the movies, but the movies don't deal with what happens in the show. And that's fine. This is different, though, because you are literally taking Avengers and giving them their own shows. I mean, Loki's not an Avenger, but you know what I'm saying. So you have these characters that are in the movies that are stars in major portions of the films, and you give them their own shows. Well, of course, what happens on their shows will play into what happens into the cinematic universe. So yeah, something is definitely going to play into that, because...
And the brilliant part of this is all these characters getting their own shows are, it's like, say if you were to do like a Scarlet Witch film, or like some of these other characters that people don't know or are led by people of color, particularly the characters of color that are women, like the tiny Captain Marvel, Kamala Khan. Mm-hmm. You can get people to fall in love with them on TV and then give them their film or put them in films together. And it would not be as a risk. It would not be putting every egg in the basket of this one film and one filmmaker, which is something that happens every couple years. It happened with Wonder Woman. It happened with Captain Marvel. It's like, these films have to be X, Y, and Z financial successes, critical successes, and then maybe we get another, or maybe the creative team behind that can do another. Unlike some things, because this is a big problem in the industry, is somebody like Catherine Hardwicke made the first 50 Shades movie and the first Twilight movie.
Yeah.
And they were huge successes, huge mm-hmm. financial successes. And she had a very low budget to do both of those.
For both.
And then men were hired to write and direct all of the sequels. She did not get that opportunity, even though she launched these projects. And I think it's really cool that Jacques Schaefer, she came and did Captain Marvel. She was one of the writers on the project. And the MCU kept her around as a showrunner, and I can imagine she's doing a bunch more of the movies now too. So I really like that they're trying to nourish talent and make it to where there's not 1,000 different stakes on their back right now, because that's a lot of pressure to put on one project.
And it's good with something that is clearly, I've talked to multiple people on Friday nights and I'm like, okay, I've watched WandaVision. Have you? Let's talk about it. Like, I know plenty of people who are invested in this show. So it's like, well, Vision is no longer a character because he's died. So, you know, in with this, you can use Scarlet Witch so much more. And it's, so let's
and they get to bringing, use, oh yeah. Well, I was going to say, you get to use just, other characters that we love, but haven't seen in a while, like Kat.
So that's what I'm, yeah, that's what I'm getting into, like, right now. So I scared the shit out of my dog last week when Darcy came back on, because I have been so vocal since the last time we saw her. And I think it was, we didn't
Thor, see her. Dark World.
The Dark World. Yeah. We haven't seen Darcy since the Dark World. And I just keep getting angrier and angrier that I don't see Kat Dennings in the MCU anymore.
Because she's here's one of my favorites. Everybody gives Thor Ragnarok the credit of being the first funny Thor movie. And
did
it's
you
like,
not see the first one?
No. It's like, yes, those movies aren't as quote unquote good or whatever, but Thor didn't have to be the funny character because we had Kat Dennings being a scene stealer in that and being hilarious. This is a Kat Dennings stan podcast, by the way. Look for future episodes about her. So just seeing her come in, and she has great chemistry with Randall Park, like comedy chemistry. We do not need romantic chemistry. They're great buddy duo. And then to add Teyonah Parris in there, I feel like those three should have their own spinoff everything.
Everything.
I'm so into everything they are doing.
And I do hope that this, again, opens up the possibility that Darcy will be in love, and because Jane is coming. It's just, you know, oh, it wouldn't make sense for Darcy to be in it. It would, because Jane's going to be there. So I think that would be a good segue for Darcy to come back into the films by putting her on this. And of course, why wouldn't you bring her back? Because she's the one who starts figuring everything out. She's like, okay, this is a broadcast. Okay, this is, everything is real. It's all within Wanda's mind. If Wanda's doing it, then, you know, these are real people, you know, X, like she's figuring things out as they go. And then I love the part. So let's get really into last night's episode. What is it billed as? Which kind of episode is it? Cause it's set in the '80s.
Oh, on a very special episode is the name of it. It's like,
yes,
that's the title of the episode, on a very special episode, ...
Yes. So in my mind, even though it's set in the '80s, this is okay, guys. Seriously, you couldn't have a show with Elizabeth Olsen as the star about sitcoms and expect there not to be nods to her sisters being Michelle Tanner on Full House. I'm sorry. That just wasn't going to happen. Of course, there was going to be little nods here and there. So in the beginning, like the kind of little nods to the opening of Full House, like really did it for me. Like, I thought it was super cute. You know, this was inevitable. I loved that. So, however, we talked about how Catherine Hahn walks in and says, do you want me to take that from the top? Like, did you want me to start again? And Wanda starts getting a little confused and she's like, what do you mean? And Vision starts thinking something's not right. And she said, no, we're just so tired from the babies not sleeping and da 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 da. So of course we're just hearing things. And periodically through the episode, Vision starts to realize that something is wrong and something's not adding up. And so you have this like really cute, wholesome episode that has these like underlying things. And it's not even just inside of the bubble that there's an issue, because I don't know if you caught this, but it's been bothering me since I watched it. They're talking about, it's Darcy and Monica and I forget his name.
Jimmy Woo.
There we go. They're all sitting there talking and Jimmy Woo says, you know, right after she says Wanda could have taken out Thanos, da 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 da. And he says, yeah, but you know, Captain Marvel is what really did it. And Monica gets mad. Like she gets mad. And then she says, we're not talking about that. But then she asks Darcy a question, something sciencey, insert science stuff here, and says, and Darcy says it's possible in theory. And then Monica texts someone. She says, I know someone who might be able to help us, but then never mentions who that someone is. So who is this person that she is texting? And when will we see this person come to outside of Westview?
Here's the thing. If Brie Larson shows up on this show.
Oh my God, that's what I was thinking about.
Like, you know, like, you are straight, but you also love Brie Larson the same way I, a queer
would
person.
Would not be straight if she approached me.
You're like, oh, Brie, hello. People cannot see me, just like.
Like, it would be instantaneous. I've been obsessed with Brie Larson since Scott Pilgrim, like.
Since the Disney Channel original film, sure. Right on track.
Oh, yeah.
She's in 13 going on 30. Listen.
We're not, I mean, not to quote Honey Boo Boo and like bring it down to really lowbrow here, but like we all got a little fruit in our tank. It's fine.
We are all class here, Megan.
No, I've proven but that's anyways, not true. I've proven that's not true time and time again. That's not real.
We're literally having a Brie Larson break. But yes, Anyways, I do want to know what's going on there because there is something deeper that we don't know about.
Yes. This
because we know that Monica Rambeau is going to be in Captain Marvel 2, directed by Nia DaCosta. I'm so excited.
It's so exciting. Oh.
But yes, I don't know what's going to go on from here. I have my own personal theories. Like, one thing we have not talked too much about is Catherine Hahn being the amazing, like, neighbor Ethel character we kind of mentioned,
but she's aware to a point. And why is she aware?
Is. So a lot of people online are wondering if she could be this like witch character that Scarlet Witch knows, Agatha Harkness, who's showed up in the comics and some of the cartoon TV shows. And she's like a witch mentor character. So I wonder if that could be a thing, or, you know, my crazy person theory of the multiverses.
Because we are talking, like we said, it's the multiverse of madness. So
yes, Catherine Hahn is technically in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the extended Sony one, because she plays Dr. Olivia Octavius in Spider-Verse.
Which is one of the best movies ever.
Oh, easily. Like, amazing. Should have won Best Picture. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
But yes, I think, one, I don't think that actually has anything to do with it. I just love Catherine Hahn getting paid. Also, Catherine Hahn and the 80s outfits really works for me. Like, that's just a side tangent. Like, everybody, Catherine Hahn is a vision. I want her to win an Emmy for this show. But I do think Catherine Hahn, there has to be something deeper. I love that.
There is something deeper. Because
I do like that they have a really good with Kat Dennings and Catherine Hahn in the end credits. I care a lot about that really silly stuff, but I wonder how are they going to get Catherine Hahn into the films, because Catherine Hahn is one of our best. Like, she should be playing Lucille Ball in that horrible Aaron Sorkin film. You know what?
Yeah.
Megan, we're going to make our own Lucille Ball film with Catherine Hahn.
I love it.
Perfect. But yeah, I want to know what is happening with her because she's so, like, brilliant, hilarious, funny, physical, but she can bring these, like, really human moments whenever, like, it really just does take you aback a little bit whenever she's like, do you want me to take this from the top? And she seems really worried and scared in a way. I want to know what's going on with her. Because as Vision said, like, Wanda is, like, getting more and more, like, showy with her magic and doing it in front of Catherine Hahn's character.
He's like, she could have seen that. She's like, she wasn't even looking.
And she literally saw the twins go from ages 5 to 10 years old. And they're just saying, like, they grow up so fast. So.
No, she did it twice. She saw them go from babies to toddlers and then the 5-year-olds to the 10-year-olds. She was there for both of that.
Yeah. So Catherine Hahn has to know more than what we think because she's seeing this and not reacting like.
At all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that, though, because when...
Oh, I will say one more funny moment when she's looking for the brown liquor and she's like, not me, for the kids. What kind of babysitter do you think I am?
I died because that was so, so seriously the norm back in the day. It's awful.
Honestly, it does work.
It does. That's true. So another though is that when the twins are they get a dog and the dog ends up dying, and they look at her and they're like, "Mom, you can fix anything. Fix it. Bring him back from the dead." And she looks at her so seriously and she's like, "Is that something you can do?" And
which Wanda brings into the weird moment of Wanda has talking about death.
And she has to like cover so fast. And, you know, then you have that moment at the end of the episode where like they, I thought it was so bizarre. Like they were acting like it was normal that both of them just like started flying in the air to get angry at each other. I was like, this is normal. This is fine. This is normal. So you have this like argument because he's like, "Wanda, something is not right. I don't remember anything other than before 9 days ago. I don't remember, you know, who I am. I don't, there are so many things that you're not telling me, and I know you're not telling me, and I need to know what's going on." And then as she starts to say something, that's when the doorbell rings and he's like, "You're controlling this. You did that because you don't want to tell me something." And she's like, "I'm not controlling this." And you can tell it's like, I don't know. It, oh, and if we do lay into or lean into the whole idea that there are two Wandas, because this is a multiverse that we're going into, and say there is that possibility, maybe that Wanda doesn't exactly know exactly what's happening. And, or if she is just trying to play a part so that she doesn't let on to what is actually happening, because, you know, otherwise it would be extreme gaslighting, because she's like, "I'm not doing this. I'm not controlling this." Da, 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 da. And then the doorbell rings and it rings twice and you go and you see the silver hair and you're like, "Oh my God, they're bringing back Quicksilver." But then it's Evan Peters instead of being Aaron Taylor Johnson, which I was about because I didn't like it. I don't like that Evan Peters showed up. I didn't like it at all. But I figured, you know, if we're going to be caught in this grief spiral of hers, and we've mentioned more than once, because 2 episodes ago, she asks her about it. And she said, "You had a twin." And she said, "Yes, Pietro." And she said, "How did you know that?" She said, "He was killed by Ultron." And that's when she cast her out. But then when she's talking to the boys in this episode, she said, "He's always going to be your brother and you're always going to be his brother." And they said, "Well, do you have a brother?" And she's like, "I do. Yeah. But he's very far away." And like, she's explaining it in like a very simple way where she's not actually saying he's dead. So with the amount of times they mentioned it, we had to assume at some point there would be a version of Quicksilver at some point that showed up. Annoyed, because if it is leaning into the idea that there are a lot of shows that have crossover events, that it would make sense, since Disney now owns Fox, that people are wondering, is this an opening into bringing the X-Men into the MCU, or is it just that? And this was what my friend and I discussed last night, because I said, "I'm really annoyed that this isn't Aaron Taylor Johnson." And I knew from the hair that it wasn't, because his hair is much better. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just me being petty.
Yeah, Evan Peters is clearly a bad wig.
That wig is real bad. That was so bad. So I was telling my friend this and how annoyed I was. And she's like, "But think about it like this, right? Vision's only there because she stole Vision's body. We can't see the real Pietro because he's dead and she doesn't have his body. So this is just an illusion in a way, or a weird variation." And I thought, that makes so much more sense, because like I said, if we do know by now that this is some sort of grief spiral, grief response to what's happened to her, and she, and we've had the mention of her brother so many times now that it was inevitable. So I thought, that does make more sense. But if they are using it to bring in X-Men, that's super annoying, because
the last, they don't mention X-Men were real bad.
Well, that, and they also don't mention in the X-Men, at least that I've noticed, that he's a twin. Like, they don't mention that Quicksilver is the twin of Scarlet Witch in the X-Men movies, at least that I can remember.
They don't mention that, and then they don't mention that both of them are the children of Magneto, which led me to the funny tweet I read, bring Ian McKellen into the MCU, you cowards.
I mean, I'd be into that for sure.
Yeah,
But
I feel like I'm very curious to see where it goes, because I know they're trying to do a multiverse thing. I'm just going to wait for Doctor Strange to show up. That just feels inevitable at this point.
That is what my friend said as well. She said, I don't understand why we aren't just sending Doctor Strange in there and fixing this.
They got to find Doctor Strange. He's stuck somewhere, probably.
Probably.
But I do think we don't have much else. I don't know where else we can go. I'm very curious. I cannot believe I'm so pumped to actually watch a TV show anymore.
I know. I'm like very excited. And usually I only feel this way about like masterpiece shows. So I'm very happy.
I know. I will say I loved whenever Wanda left the town and was confronting S.W.O.R.D. that her accent was coming out real.
Yes. I noticed that too.
Because you can imagine that her there have been inconsistencies, and I feel like they're going to try to make up for that with this, which I'm fine with. I don't care. But I do love that she just like showed off her power so much in that moment and what she can do, that I'm very curious and excited to see what's happening next.
I am excited. I'm excited to see how it ends. But even before that, like, what awareness does Catherine Hahn's character have? And how does she have this awareness?
And when can we start our Emmy campaign for Catherine Hahn?
Fair, because we will definitely be at the forefront of that campaign.
I will just make glitter posters at home.
I got glitter glue. Okay.
You've got so much glitter glue.
I really do. It's really bad. So I want to know who it was that Monica texted and when they will be showing up. I want to know what issue Monica currently has with Captain Marvel, because that you can't just mention that and then it go away. That's not one of those
things. You have to imagine that maybe Captain Marvel wasn't there whenever her mom was dying and going through cancer.
That's where I went with it. I'm like, is it that she's upset that Carol wasn't there? Because, you know, Carol says fairly frequently at that, like, or they say it throughout the, well, why don't we call Captain Marvel? She's off planet. Like, she's never around. So,
and that was like a big, reason why Captain Marvel couldn't beat like Thanos, is because they had to like, it's her and Scarlet Witch are the only ones strong enough to beat Thanos after the fact. Like, you saw like in the beginning of Endgame, they just crash onto that planet. Captain Marvel puts them in a headlock and like almost gets the gauntlet off at the end of the movie, but he literally has to use like a power stone to punch her away. Mm-hmm. And then, so like they had to make up excuses for that. And I think that's also a good way to be like, oh, she's in a different galaxy or whatever, and she can't return, or she's not getting the messages or something. So I think that could be a really good human moment.
Yeah.
To bring into Captain Marvel too, because Captain Marvel is also the one that had really good human moments amongst all the alien stuff. We don't get a lot of that in the MCU at all.
And no, we don't.
It even feels forced. Like, a lot of the Iron Man, Spider-Man stuff feels very forced because they don't have the Uncle Ben in that Spider-Man at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have issues with that friendship and relationship, but I think the Carol makes a lot of sense.
So I think what we're seeing now, even 5 episodes in, will play heavily into 2 future Marvel films. This will play heavily into Doctor Strange, and this will play heavily into Captain Marvel too. Like, these two, I think what's happening in this show, and if we're lucky, and please God, they have not released enough of the cast for us to know if this is true or not. If we are lucky, this will play into Love and Thunder too. Please just put Darcy back. That is all I am asking you to do.
I have to imagine Kat Dennings is coming back for it. It's not like she has the 2 broke girls anymore.
Well, she's doing Dollface on Hulu.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Schedule.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, Hulu money versus CBS money. I guess that's true. And syndication money when you think about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
So you have to assume that bringing Darcy back is an introduction to bring her back into the films. You have to assume that the mention of Captain Marvel around Monica is going to play into Captain Marvel 2. I think we know
it. And it's definitely probably why we won't see Captain Marvel in this series is because of that tension and that relationship. So if maybe she does show up for one or two episodes, it's not because Monica called her and asked for her help to come save the day real quick and help fix this information, because they're the two strongest Avengers. You need the other one to figure out this other situation. It's like, oh no, you're not calling him in because you don't want to see this person because mm-hmm. of a personal family issue. And I think that's a beautiful reason. It makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. And we know, like, we can assume that, you know, Darcy and Monica play a part in those two films. We know that what happens in this show plays heavily into the next Doctor Strange. And I am very excited to see how that comes into play. And I'm very interested to see how Evan Peters plays into it, because, and like you said earlier, before we started recording, that's a hallmark of 80s, 90s shows, is you take a character that everybody knows and recast it with somebody else and act like nothing happened.
Yep. I watch so many soap operas. Like, it's the norm of back in the day before the internet. You would just recast a character.
Well, didn't they recast someone on like Growing Pains and Family Pains, or not Family Pains? The one with Michael J. Fox. I thought they recast someone on that too.
But they like aged up the kids. So like Ashley Johnson, who is in a lot of the Joss Whedon stuff, and is actually appears in, I want to say, the first Avengers film. I don't like Joss Whedon, but like, she was also in Growing Pains. She's the grown-up version of the youngest kid, and then they aged up the youngest son in the Michael J. Fox one.
Sometimes you have to age up to take people off the show.
That's true.
So I'm just saying. So it was a very big hallmark of shows at that time, is to recast someone, pretend like you didn't, and move on. So I think that's kind of what they did here. So I liked that, but I am interested to see because we have to assume these first five episodes set it up. Now we're about to watch it unravel. Like, the next five are the unraveling, because it's already starting to unravel, because Vision is starting to understand that something is wrong. He's taken that person out of the control and realized, oh my God, Wanda's doing something. Wanda's trying to keep her shit together, basically, and that's falling apart. They're slowly starting to figure everything out. So I think the next five episodes are going to be just a domino. It's just going
to
be,
because we still have to figure out what else this guy is hiding, the white guy in charge is hiding, because he only showed you parts. Is it Tyler? Why does the name Tyler seem like a white boy name?
Sorry.
If I am correct.
Oh, sorry. There are only 9 episodes, not 10.
So we're going to have a podcast again here in a month about it. But yes. Oh my goodness. I'm very excited, because there has to be
Director
a reason.
Tyler Hayward. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I guessed a white boy name.
Love it. Love that journey for you.
That sounds like a white boy name.
It is.
There has to be a reason why. So you have to think maybe they were doing experiments on Vision's body or something and trying to figure it out. And that's why she stole the body and she was upset about that. You have to figure out why. Why did they have Vision's body in the first place? Why was that necessary? And then what else is going on here? Because he's not telling you everything. Monica clearly doesn't trust him. The guy called the missile shot on Wanda and Monica said no, because she's like, that's not a missile drone. So,
yeah, there's something that we are not being told on both sides. Mm-hmm. Because he said, I can't remember what he said before. It was like Vision's last will and testament that he didn't want his
body messed with.
Yeah. So, but he said something just before that, like it was something or other. I can't remember what he said, but there is definitely something they're not telling us, because when she bursts into that lab and she takes him, there are so many people around him doing something. Mm-hmm. So
I think they were doing like experiments or something on his body, and she was pissed off because Vision didn't want that. So I wonder if they're trying to say that she's doing something whenever she was saving him.
Because, he said he didn't want his body to be used as a weapon. That's what he said before his last will and testament thing. So we have to see, are they spinning this to make it look like Wanda is trying to use him as a weapon? And if so, for what? Or are, either way, either side of the force field, we're not getting everything yet.
And I'm very curious, but we are running out of time. I am already going to be super late as a babysitter soon.
I know. I'm sorry. I tried to keep stop talking.
No, we had so many good things to say. You were actually being good and I had thoughts. It'll be fine. So, Megan, until our next WandaVision episode in a few more weeks, where can we find you on the internets?
You can find me on Twitter at Miss Megan Mann. My bookstagram is at Ginger and Champagne. It's really varied. And then I am also on the podcast Once Upon a Stream, which is a Disney Plus podcast. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Once Upon a Stream.
So many things to promote.
So many things.
So I'm on Twitter and Letterboxd at Chell725. You can find us at MoxieGalsPod on Instagram and Twitter. And then I am also got a new thing at Cinema Gals. We're the Untitled Cinema Gals Project. We're going to get Megan on. We're talking about movies and performers and awards stuff. And
so good.
Came up with names. I'm like, I'm just going to add gals to everything I do so I can remember I'm doing. And then I'm also on the Community Rewatch podcast. And just yesterday we dropped a great episode where I got to talk to my old friends who were background extras on Community. And I think that's everything I'm doing right now. Just check the show notes. You can follow our co-host Jen and Paige. I'll link their stuff in the show notes. And the beautiful Cooper has made an appearance. Megan's papé.
He was very excited. He wanted to come down and be a part of it.
Hey, yo.
He watches WandaVision with me every week, so, you know, he wanted to be involved.
He really hated yesterday's episode because a puppy dies, which that's another thing we didn't get to talk about too much in regards to Catherine Hahn, but next time, because I still have so many more thoughts. But yeah,
we'll see if those thoughts are on point or not.
Honestly, I'm probably wrong about all my conspiracy theories, but that's fine. I'm having a good time. So yes, until our next episode, bye-bye.
Bye.